everyone, Lord Baldrith here with a great story by Jivilex called Gene the Giant Killer, the real story. I'm sure y'all know the stories of Gene the Giant Killer. I wrote enough of them, after all, and they did play on the Tesla radio for years. A hero for whom larger than life is just the right size, I wrote. Of course, it all started with Gene the Giant Killer, which won me tons of awards and made him the most famous slayer of ogres, eatons, and trolls of all time. Then, there was Gene the Giant Killer Revealed, which was more popular than the first book. Oh, and the critically acclaimed, though somewhat less popular, Gene and the Giant. But the thing is, the lot of it was hogwash. That's right, I said it. Oh, sure, we was best mates and all. I loved the man like a brother, but the things I wrote weren't all that there was to say. Fact is, I took a lot of liberties in the telling of those stories. He didn't want me writing the truth, and looking back, I admit he was right. But after a time, it got to itching me. The truth, that is. Funny thing, the truth. It seems easy to stuff away or bury in some shallow hole, forgotten. Then one day, it starts wriggling away, working its way to the surface. I went to him and told him I wanted to write the real story. He swore. Well, he swore all the time. Didn't read that in other books, did ya? Oh, we went round and round about it. Hours of arguing. A broken nose. Mine, not his. And a few pints later, we reached an agreement. I would pen the truth, but not publish it until we were both dead. I was at his funeral a few years back, so I know he's gone. And since you're reading this, hey now. Don't fret about us none. I'm probably up at the Bear Tavern in the sky, sharing a pint with Gene the Giant Killer himself. Or, if me mother-in-law was right, down at the Fiery Bear Tavern below, sharing a pint. Either way, neither of us will benefit from a spilled tear now. Of course, I'd still be obliged if you'd read on and say something nice in review of this, me last piece of work. It may be the only piece of nonfiction I ever wrote. Oi, mate. I'm Gene, the Giant Killer. What can I do for ya? I turned to look at the man who had uttered those now famous words. He was the smallest man I'd ever seen. A dwarf, really. I don't mean the mythical kind with a long beard and a penchant for gold and smithing. No, I mean a little person. He was standing on a table and still had to look up at me. I began to wonder, not for the first time, why I wanted to be a writer at all. The local Tesla radio had offered me a pittance if I could find and interview a guy in a nearby town who had gained some local fame for killing a few giants. Simple cash, I thought. It was turning into a total snipe hunt. I'd already been to 3 taverns, each with some brawny ox who claimed to be the fabled Gene. Now, here I was at some rat hole bar looking at a little man with a big grin, rough cut, brown hair, and sparkling blue eyes, claiming to be a killer. Sorry, I'm looking for the man who has killed giants, named Gene. Who are you? I was fresh out of scribe school, all 6'7" of me, and wasn't about to let some dirt dumpling go jerking my chain.
I said I was Gene, you forking string bean. Are you bloody deaf? Demning pencil-pushing gobshites?
He spat on the floor. It might have been tobacco, might not. You? You're the killer of giants? I asked, incredulous.
Aye, what of it? You got a giant that needs killing?
His eyes shone bright as the possibility of income crossed his mind. I'm writing a story about, I began.
Piss off!
He waved dismissively. Excuse me?
Did I stutter? Or do you not know what piss off means?
Now see here. I'm looking for the man who kills giants, so I can write about him. I've already interviewed 3 men in this town alone who have all claimed to be him. And let me tell you, sir, every one of them was a big man. You, well, I arched my eyebrow and looked down at the little man. It made my point.
Well then, if you already got 3 big killers, what do you need me for? Go get one of those fools to tell you lies. I've got giants to cut down and precious little time for radios or writers.
Gene took a swig from his mug and shot me that cockeyed smile that made him look so smug. I wanted to punch him right then and there. Their stories, they don't make sense.
Uh-huh.
Gene oozed condescension. But yours do, I suppose. You tell me how you broke a troll's nose, even though you barely reach his kneecaps? Or maybe how you knocked an Eton out with one punch, while everyone knows they have 2 heads? Or maybe you'll tell me that you're the mightiest man alive, tougher than any giant. I've heard it all so far, so how are you stronger than a giant? Gene guffawed.
Don't be right daft, cupcake. There's no way I'm stronger than even an ogre. Then again, neither are you. Nor any of that lot you've been wasting your time with. Stronger than a giant? Idiots.
So, how do you kill them then?
I cut off their heads with my magic war axe of giant killing.
He pursed his lips and took another sip from his cup. Really? You have a magic axe? I was intrigued, as at least a magic axe was believable. Well, more believable than what I'd heard so far. Gene looked at me with mock kindness.
You really are pure gobshite, aren't you? Do I look big enough to wield a war axe? It's a wonder you haven't traded your family's savings for magic beans.
The family savings was spent going to the finest scribe school in all of New Britannia. I'm going to be a famous writer. In retrospect, that might not have been the best comeback. Gene gave me a puzzled frown and shook his head.
I kill giants.
Not much more to know. But how? How do you do it? The little man looked up from his mug, as if seeing me for the first time, studying me.
Why do you want to know?
I want to write about it. I want to tell the world how you do it, I beamed.
You do realize I make money from this, right?
I nodded. Gene spoke clearly, as if I was a slow child.
I make my money from it because most people can't do it. When a giant starts bothering a town, they call me and pay me to solve the problem. If some wank of a writer goes and tells them how I do it, then anyone can do it, and I'm out of a job. That's not much incentive for me to tell you how I do it, is it?
I could see what Gene meant about a steady job, and since I myself was currently in a cash flow deficit, I took a different approach. I could just tell them about the adventure and not actually how you do it. You know, make it a big story.
Now, who would care about that?
Are you serious? Look at how popular such things are in books. There is the Lord of the Bracelets trilogy, the Dragons of Parm, and my favorite, the Game of Iron Chairs. Surely you've read them.
I don't have much use for satire. And I don't like fiction.
I was stunned. Those are all true. I'm sure of it, maybe. But look, my point is, people will want to hear your stories.
I don't know.
When everyone hears that you are the one to get the job done, you'll have more business than you can handle. More money. Gene's hand flashed out to grab my shirt and pull me closer.
Beanpole, my friend. Why didn't you say that before? Have a seat and let me tell you a story.
There was this one time a troll was terrorizing some little thorp. Big feller, too. He'd come in and eat their sheep about once a week. Yup, well, to make a long story short, I killed him. Gene smiled as if that explained everything. Are you serious? My jaw dropped. Oh, yeah, I killed him good. Gene's toothy grin split his face. That's the kind of story you're looking for? I shut my gaping mouth. After a moment, I said, that's a little shy on the details. Okay. If I am telling the truth, what I actually said was, that is the single most idiotic story I've ever heard. Gene said, I'll try and elaborate a bit. Ha! Yeah, right. He dashed his mug to the floor and wove a tapestry of profanity like none I'd ever heard before. I don't think he repeated a single word during the entire tirade. I was lost in thought about possibly writing a book on swearing when I realized he was staring at me. Sorry, what? I said, if you don't like my story, you underpriss, come with me on a giant hunt and tell it any way you want. So what do you say? My skills as a writer were very good, I know. I'd told myself many times, but I'd made no illusion that I was any kind of warrior. Me, on a giant hunt, the idea alone was ridiculous. Impossible, actually. I'd love to. My stupid mouth had betrayed me more than once. Great. I know of this ogre near here. The pay isn't what I like to earn, but with your story making money, I figure it'll compensate. We can leave in the morning. In the original story, I wrote, Gene was knocking at my door before the sun kissed the sky. Writer fluff. In reality, it was too bloody early, but he was insistent, and so off we trudged. Off to kill a giant. It took until mid-morning to get off the edge of a cliff. Looking down, the 100-plus feet to the rocks gave me a queasy feeling and made my head spin. Where are we exactly? This doesn't seem like a good place to kill a giant. Gene glared up at me and then began to unpack the gear we had brought. Look here. One of us is an expert in killing giants, and the other is a sissy, pencil-scratching wuss. I'm the former. You're the latter. So we hunt where I say we hunt. That's simple enough for you? I watched the little man pace off back and forth, check the dirt for who knows what, sniff the air, taste a blade of grass, and finally draw a tiny circle in the dirt with his foot. What exactly are you doing? Gene got very serious. There's an ogre around here. He hunts in this area. He'll come over that little rise sometime today. When he does, I'll spring this magic trap and dispatch him. I looked at the rock Gene held in his hand. It looked like any other rock in the area. That's a rock. Well, it has to look like a rock, so the big lug doesn't know it's a trap. If he senses it's a trap, he'll avoid it, and then we'll have trouble, Gene explained. It still looked like a rock to me. You sure it will work? Absolutely. Mostly. Probably. It should. But sometimes... The dwarf shrugged. Sometimes what? I demanded. Well, sometimes it doesn't work. So I use my magic ring and turn invisible. The giant will stomp around for a bit, killing anything it can see, but then it will eventually wander off, and I'll try again later. Turn invisible? Well, yeah. You don't want to be around when an angry giant is trying to kill you. They're big, and mean, and hungry. So you turn invisible? Yup. What am I supposed to do? I asked. Well, you just wave your arms and seem vulnerable, and when he comes over the rise, he'll walk past the trap, and I'll spring it, and we're done. Gene seemed very confident. What happens if it doesn't work? Told ya, I turn invisible. What happens to me? I screamed. Well, you'd better... Oh, I see what you mean. That's your solution? I can't turn invisible, you know. Okay, there's another option, but you won't like it. Will I like it less than being stomped to death and eaten by an ogre? Jean smiled. Oh, no. It's not nearly that bad. Here's what we're gonna do. There you go. Snug as a bug, Jean purred as he checked to make sure every adjustment on the climbing harness was tight. I don't know about this, I started. Now, Beanpole, you wanted to come out on a giant hunt. This is a giant hunt. You can't turn invisible, and so this is the only other way. Trust me. I sure hope your track works, I mumbled. Me too, Jean admitted. Jean, what happens if he doesn't fall for it? Oh, he'll fall for it. You just be sure not to catch the trip line with your foot. You run for all you got and leap over the edge. Leap, not crawl, not slide, leap. But only if the trap fails, right? Right, of course, the little man smiled soothingly. So I sat down where I was instructed to sit. My safety rope was hidden, buried in the dust. All I had to do was be bait for a man-eating giant. Simple. You know, as I write it here and now, it seems rather silly. But when I was a young man, this is what passed for excitement. We were a brave breed back then. Okay, foolish, probably. Me, I was desperate. I'd do anything to be a famous writer, and in the end, you don't really care. You just want to know what happened. Well, I'll tell you. I sat there for nigh unto an hour when I heard a chuffing sound. I looked up just in time to see an ogre step over the rise. That's when it all started to go sideways. Now, I know in the books you read, the story goes that three ogres came over the rise. I dropped one with a magic crossbow bolt between the eyes. Jean stuck the other one with his magic trap, and we struggled bravely and finally cut the third one down. Well, that was just a story. It didn't happen. There was only one ogre. The brute seemed to smell something, likely me, but hadn't yet spotted me. His eyes were all squinty, like he needed ogre glasses or something. I thought, how can he not see me? I'm right here. So I stood up and waved my arms, just like Jean had told me to do. That did the trick. He let out a bellow, a snot-flying, spittle-spraying kind of bellow. No, I don't mean a scream like your sister might do. Not a yell like your mother when she's mad. Not even the sound like your wife might make if she found you in bed with... Well, actually, it was a little like that. But mostly, it sounded like a rampaging bull. I mean, the kind of volume you can feel in your chest. At that moment, I became so paralyzed with fear that the only thing that moved was my bladder and my mouth. And mouth only got out... I need to take a moment at this point. For those of you who may not be familiar with ogre speak, I wasn't at the time. You see, their language is relatively foul and crude. Pretty much the only thing it consists of is references to food, fighting, and a few select insults. Completely unbeknownst to me, what I had uttered was a close approximation to one of the worst ogre insults. It insinuated some rather lurid acts with a member of the family. The giant in front of me responded to my glug with eyes widening to saucers and standing to his full height. It was 9 foot something huge. He then let out a war cry that made it obvious his first bellow had simply been a kindly, "Hello, I'll be your ogre today, and I'm going to eat you." Now this noise was more of a, "You have offended me, my family, and my honor. I'm going to stomp you into a puddle of red goo, pick out any bone shards, and smash them with a rock." Yes, as a matter of fact, I did get all of that in his single cry. I assure you, My mind was working rather quickly at that moment. My entire life flashed before my eyes, and after replaying the good part a time or two, and three for that night with the Miller's daughter, I decided I had not nearly enough of it. Life, that is. And since I had a huge, raging killing machine thundering in my direction, I thought it would be best to be somewhere else. I completely forgot that I was tied into a harness, connected to a rope, and all that. I simply knew I needed to be away from the landslide of death that was heading my direction. I ran for all I was worth, straight away from oncoming death, directly toward the cliff. At some point, I recall thinking how it was strange that the beast was still coming, getting even closer to me. I thought Gene would surely spring the trap, and I would be saved from diving headlong over a cliff. Yet I could feel ogre spittle hitting the back of my neck as I careened for the edge, running out into the air, legs still pumping as fast as they could. I actually felt the ogre's hand brush me as he snarled past on the way to the rocks below. Then I hit the wall and blacked out.
Hey, there you are. You were perfect.
Gene smiled at me. He must have pulled me back up the cliff with the tiny block and tackle setup he had attached to the rope.
Ugh.
I am so elegant when I am just coming back to consciousness.
You were perfect bait. We killed the man-eating ogre. You got your story, and I got another kill to build up my reputation. That's money, Beanpole.
Your trap, it didn't work.
Sure it did. We killed the ogre.
No, your magic trap. It didn't stop him.
Huh? Oh, right, the magic trap. Yeah, tough break there. Can't trust those magic traps.
Gene went to packing up our gear.
Gene?
Yeah, mate?
There wasn't a magic trap, was there? Your plan was always to have me be the bait and run over the cliff.
Well, I could have died. But you didn't. The old ogre was nearly blind. I knew he wouldn't see the trip line or the cliff edge. I needed a runner, and in case you haven't noticed, your legs are a tad longer than mine. You used me. Don't go getting all high and mighty. You were going to write all about my giant killing to get rich and famous. I'm out here risking my butt every turn while you wanted to make money by talking about my deeds. Is that what passes for fair where you come from?
Gene crossed his arms and looked a bit offended.
Well, I'll tell you what, gobshite. I'll split the reward money with you. If you split the story money with me.
How big is the reward? I asked.
100 gold coins.
Gene raised an eyebrow as if to inquire if that was enough to buy me. I hesitated, not because there was any doubt, but because I thought blurting out abso-farking-lutely would lack grace. After all, the paper had offered to pay me only 1. That's right, 1 gold coin. I was not as known back then as I became later, when people would give me a coin just to autograph their copy of my book.
Oh, come on, Beanpole. You gotta admit, it was exciting.
Maybe on one condition. We go on another giant hunt, and I am not bait this time, and we split the reward money and the story money even.
Done. I've been thinking you could write a whole book about me killing giants.
We can fit it in with stories like this.
Yeah, a book is a good idea, but I think I'll take a little creative license in telling the stories. So, you got any other jobs lined up?
Gene smiled at me.
As a matter of fact, I recently heard there's an Eaton a day's ride north of here.
Then he looked directly at me with his sparkling blue eyes.
So, what are you going to call this book? How to Beat Giants? Maybe Encyclopedia Gigantica?
I did my best to mimic his smile and his accent.
No, mate, I think I'll call it Gene the Giant Killer.
Background music, Cool Beats 1.0 by Syncopia. Chill BGM by Syncopia. Melancholy Beats. Prototype by Syncopia. The Path Revealed by Elliot Corley from Chaos is Harmony. Fairy Tale by Alexander Zelenov. https://soundcloud.com/AlexanderZelenov. Winter Waltz by Alexander Zelenov. Brave Infantry by Alexander Zelenov. Escadre by Alexander Zelenov. Takeover 5 by Horrorpin. Invasion by Elliot Corley from Chaos is Harmony. Elpin by Jan123. Mythica by Congas Bongus. Echoes, 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 echoes. From the Cavern was brought to you by Lord Baldrith, Sir Style Teakle, and Asclepius. Do you have a piece you would like us to read? Please contact us at lordbaldrith@thecaverns.net, style@thecaverns.net, or asclepius@thecaverns.net.